Hello, welcome to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fojo. He is a voice called to restore the dignity of humanity, to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit, to reveal the true identity of Christ in us, to raise and build people of absolute dominion, to raise a fearless generation, to bring salvation to the unsaved, revival to the brokenhearted, liberate men from captivity, to reveal the absoluteness of the Holy Ghost, to break the walls of denominization and bring about unity in the body of Christ across the continent. And now, today's message.
And let me say this here. For a very long time, I've been thinking about this. And it looks like almost every blessed day, God keeps giving us confirmation upon confirmations. I want you to know that not everybody that professes to love Jesus is somebody God acknowledges his own. Many can come to God. Many can come to church. Many can lift up their hands to God in a place of service. But God may not see them as his own, as people may think they are. I'm telling you. We humans, we judge from what we see. And God judges from what a man cannot see. That is why sometimes when God begins to open your understanding on how people are, you wonder if you are either thinking or God is actually speaking to you about them. Because some people don't appear to be the people we think they are. Does it make sense? God truly sees the life that people live on their inside. I'm telling you. That is why if you want to judge a believer by the things you see, you'll be wrong. Does it make sense? You see, I believe in the place of character. I believe in the place of moral excellence. I believe in the place of integrity. But I believe that the foundation of everything has got to do with the spirit that was on a man's inside. This isn't the message, but I'm only saying this because I realize that for a very long time, many people are shifting and they are veering off God's original pattern because many are judging from scriptures they can defend when God is saying something different. Did you hear me? You see, this whole thing about the Christian journey has its root in covenant. Not the covenant the Lord said on the cross of Calvary with the church, but with the understanding that life goes beyond the physical perspective. Am I talking here? No, I'm taking my time to say this because it's very deep. And I don't know how to make it simple for you to understand. Somebody heard our message and said that he had to listen to what I said like 20 times before he got the first sentence as a child. God forgive us. God is good. We may come to church as Christians. We may come into the house of the Lord as lovers of the Father. But I want you to know that it is God that sees from his perspective the true intent of men. We may preach, we may teach, we may tell you what God expects from you as a believer. But God truly knows who belongs to him. Because nobody is expected to live as a human without the indwelling of a spirit. So you are either on the part of God or the enemy's part. And you see, God, in his own intelligence, has given people the power of duality. Are you getting me? So somebody can profess to be a lover of Jesus Christ, and then, strange enough, the spirit they carry on their inside is to the loyalty of the devil. That is why you can come to church and see an elder who is actually a witch. And you'll be like, why would somebody stand in God's presence, lift up holy hands, telling God how important and how powerful he is, and then the loyalty belongs to somebody else? Now, if you want to judge a man by the physical standards God has given the church, you see he's actually correct in every aspect. Meanwhile, God says he's different. The question is, why would God know such a man like this and allow such a person behave in this way? The question is this. I want you to know that in this Christian journey, not everybody is willing to open up themselves to the truth. You didn't hear me? Not everybody is willing to open themselves to the truth. Some people will deliberately tell their heart that I can't accept this. They may not prove stubborn, but God knows what they think of it. Am I communicating here? That is why if you are I told you before that if you are judging integrity just because of what you see them do, you can be wrong. How about making sense, friends? Oh, praise God. I told you that you are not good because you do good. If I want to call this lady a good woman, I want to see how best she can stand and sacrifice for me. Now watch me. If God was to call people good for the things they do, God would be wrong. Because some of the good people do actually has evil intention. Talk to me, friends. Do you know Judas Iscariot? He was not a vagabond. He was an apostle. When the Holy Ghost had not yet been released over the life of the apostles, the Lord sent them out to go cast out demons, and the enemy could go and cast out demons too. Jesus, God, was with them. They slept in the same house, ate the same food, yet demons could enter him in the presence of God, where everything must be quiet. And then Jesus could not cast the demon out of him and still brought him close and made an apostle. Am I communicating here? Talk to me, church. So you see, for a very long time, we are changing the idea on how God sees mankind. And we are not willing to pray about people before giving them access to our own life. That is why in this Christian journey, you must stick to the knowledge of the truth that God gives you and also stick to what he tells you about yourself and your journey. If not, you are going to look at someone's success and then actually misconstruct a whole different pattern when God says no to that. Am I communicating here? It is very deep, but I'm trying my best to make sure that I make it simple for you to know that this Christian journey, that everybody claims to know God, only God knows who I really caught with him. That is why today, a believer will tell you that let me back what I know with scripture. Powerful. That's the right foundation here. But you see, you will know if what they are saying through scripture is in alignment with the purity of the spirit they carry. This morning, I said on Zoom that I heard a pastor say that his messages have stopped many people from arranging miracle and taking money from people when shrines are increasing. So you claim you are in Christ and your message could not break the shrine. Wow. You claim you are in Christ and there's power in Christ and your messages could not actually bring demons from wherever they are, rather to close a church. Wow. Wow. So your message did not respect a man's sacrifice for years. Do you know what it takes for God to bless a man? Do you know what it means for God to sit upon a man's life? Do you know what happens in secrecy for God to entrust a man? You get me? Huh? There are certain messages that God would see and he will not allow the public hear because the public may have a little understanding of how God will breathe. I'm telling you. I've told you this. Maybe this might be your last time in this church, but I want you to know that there is no way God can validate your life as a righteous being when there's no covenant. Am I communicating, friends? Jesus told them that you guys claim that you don't understand the things I say on earth when I'm speaking in earthly words. What if I speak about the things from above? Is God helping somebody here? So when you go out there, have it in mind that with the crowd that God is gathering unto himself, there are only few that he knows uncontrollably that they belong to him because the spirit has not been left to demonic possession. I made you understand that the whole idea of oil, or let me say anointing, is in two forms. Let's use the book of Psalms, chapter 133, the verse number 2. Oh, are you blessed already? It is like precious oil poured on the head running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robe. All right. So get me the book of Isaiah, the chapter 60, the verse number 1. Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, I brought this because of what I'm about to say after this. Give me the book of Isaiah 61, the verse number 1. So, when the glory comes upon the life of a man, what happens afterwards? The spirit of the sovereign was upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. The verse number 2 is powerful. The verse number 2. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. The verse number 3 is powerful. And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. There will be a cord oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. It's a very deep thing today that God wants us to share, but God will help us. So whatever we make mention of the word anointing, we are talking about two major things. There is what we call the anointing within and the anointing upon. When I lift up oil in the course of the service and I pour the oil on your head, it is called the anointing upon. Am I communicating, friends? Yes. I mean, the word anointing is a very old Jewish word that had to do with God speaking through the prophet so that the people could be smeared with oil for an acceptance to prove that indeed God has called these people. Am I communicating, friends? So whenever we make mention of anointing, we're talking about the anointing within and anointing upon. Now, in our world today, many believers are quick to celebrate the anointing that comes upon and are not willing to build the anointing within. Meanwhile, the real attestation of the anointing upon is anointing within. Am I communicating? So whenever we make mention of the anointing upon, I'm talking about the giftings God has given people. So for instance, if I bring Brother Joe here and I say, lead us in worship. Once he begins to sing, because he has lived a consecrated life, I am proved or I'm moved to say that this man has an anointing of God. Am I right? Or because when he began to sing, we felt God's presence, true of us. Now, God wants you to know that it is not the gift that you display on the outside that proves to him the anointed. Rather, the gift on the inside that he can attest of that makes him know that you are anointed. So, whilst human beings are celebrating the anointing upon, God is the anointing within. Oh, am I teaching here? I want you to know that there is no human being on this earth that God did not place a gift on your inside. Everybody is gifted one way or the other. The concern here isn't what to do with the gift. The concern here is the life you live that makes the gift a worthy one. Talk to me, friends. Please hear this word. You see, many believers have this perception. Am I teaching here? I'm making this simple because on Friday we'll go very deep here. God is good. Now, I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that God is never moved with whatever glory a man commands outside his body. You can be popular, you can be beautiful, you can be rich, you can be everybody somebody may desire to have. That thing has got nothing to do with God. Remember when I was teaching about destiny, I made you understand that some of the things you are thanking God for, God himself is unaware of them. God is good. So whilst people are quick to look on the outside to celebrate what a man has paid the price for, God says, my instinct must be moved to how a man lives on his inside. That anointing within is what I call the anointing upon. God did not release the anointing just because he knows that somebody has been called to work in ministry. In fact, everybody here has been called in ministry. Talk to me formally. Just because you don't stand behind the pulpit doesn't mean you're not preaching. Because we clearly know that your character is your pulpit. Praise God. Just because you are not healing the sick doesn't mean that your words cannot heal somebody. It was John that made us understand that God has called us as kings and priests. If you're a lady, you're a queen and a priestess. So you may not need the validation of a pulpit to bring about your gift. Does it make sense? Now, God wants us to know that if people go for what happens on the outside and they neglect what happens on the inside, the enemy will do everything possible to contaminate what they have on the inside so the outside may lose physical validation. Talk to me formally. Oh, praise God. Oh, am I communicating in church? So, you hear that some ministers are praying to God, or somebody is praying to God, please grant me anointing. They know God has called them for ministry. And to them, they have this perception that it has got to do with the presence they command. God says, it doesn't work like that. Talk to me, family. I want you to know that if God does not build a man on the inside and an unction comes upon, I bet you, the devil will physically fight you spiritually in every angle they can. Does it make sense? Now, whenever we talk about the anointing within him, we are talking about the justification of a man's character and spirit. How am I teaching you? When God says a man is anointed on his inside, it means God says this person has the right character that brings alignment to God's purpose. Study the book of Galatians chapter 5, the verse 22. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And these are all results of the Spirit of God that people allow sit on their inside so God could prune them. Let us go there, please. Galatians 5, verse 22. Am I teaching here? God is good. Great. This is a teaching church. The Bible says, how would the people hear a message without a preacher? I'll be there, please. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Go on. Gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. So whenever God wants to describe a man as the anointed, he looks at the inbuilt character. These are whatever God depends on to bring about human validation. If these things are not built on a man's inside, there is no need for the unction to come upon. You see, believers are after breakthroughs. Believers are after whatever miracle. You see, and it's not bad. When you pray to God for a miracle, it's not bad. Just that God is not willing to give you something his will has not been consecrated to give you. In fact, many of you are praying for things that in God's kingdom, according to your pattern, it does not exist. You didn't hear me. Okay. So yesterday, I was having a convo with my dad, and then he told me that when he came to Belgium, he wanted to work. God is good. He prayed and prayed, and God says, why are you asking me something you already have? Now, to the carnal believer, he'll be like, oh, then go out of your comfort zone and then go look for one. Meanwhile, God made him understand that what you are doing, I define as work. Do you know that if you die today, you will not be called a faithful banker? Talk to me, church. Do you know if you die today, you will not be called a faithful nurse? You'll be called a faithful servant or a faithful steward. So many people don't know that the kingdom life is work. Oh, talk to me, church. The way you guys are quiet, as if am I teaching a place? You see, many believers don't know that the things that we are wasting time on don't matter to God. All two of us. The things we feel are the most important things, destiny is unaware of them. Yet, those are the things that are inspiring to pray to God more. Meanwhile, God says, find what matters to me, so I give you more than what you even deserve yourself. Because the intelligence of a man will not permit him to know what God thinks of his life until God says so. It's powerful. So God is telling somebody here that anytime you pray to God for miracles, signs, and wonders, when you pray that God should change everything about your life, have it in mind that it is anointing within that brings public glorification to the anointing upon. Hey, do you know how painful it is for someone to climb up in the candle again? There were some rich people that you once had in your life. Some of them were your uncles or CEOs. They were up there, and for strange reasons, they are not in now. And you are asking if they really exist. Oh, true of us. Do you know that people normally boast with whatever happened in the past? You see, if you listen to a man's message, and then all whatever they keep saying is what they used to do in the past, don't mind them. Oh, does it make sense? Because any man that refers to the past has lost his future. You didn't hear me? So God wants you to know that every miracle that comes upon the life of a man, even though you pray about it to God, it is a proof of the anointing he has given unto you. Watch me. Your testimony is your ministry. You see, the whole idea of the anointing is not the gift, it's exploitation. Rather, the presence of the Holy Ghost that stay in a man's life. So anytime you are called the anointed of God, we are talking about somebody that has opened up themselves for the Holy Ghost to dwell on their inside. So once God dwells on your inside, these are the fruit he wants to attest of to give what you pray to God for. Am I teaching, friends? If not, it will shock you that the enemy will succeed in bringing to pass all the evil things he has said about you. So, for instance, somebody is believing God for marital breakthrough, and the person lacks the spirit of patience. You may insist, you may be consistent, but once God brings about such blessing upon your life, whatever you could not build on the inside, fight the glory on the outside. Please don't get me wrong, but believers, or let me say, some believers are so immatured that they cannot tell when a miracle is coming to them. You see, we rate the maturity in the spirit based on sensitivity and discernment. If your spirit cannot man up to catch up things in the spirit, I bet you, you would walk and then be like a dead fool. So just imagine speaking to a believer about a miracle that bring to God for, and the person cannot sense that the season I'm in means something to me. Oh, talk to me, family. Do you know that most of the breakthroughs that God brings upon a man's life, they come out through disgrace? Oh, hello. Okay, let me give you a physical example here. Just imagine you want to go to church, and then something tells you, you are tired, don't go today, sleep in the house, tomorrow you will go to work. You are tired, just sleep, don't mind anybody, because God knows you are coming every blessed day. It's not just 1 hour, I can even watch on Zoom. And then according to God, that is the day he has created to bless you. Hello? Now, when such season passes, you will have to pray for mercy. That mercy will not assure you if God will bring back that breakthrough. That mercy only covers your present identity, so anger from God doesn't kill you. Am I teaching you? Let me give you an example here. Do you know that you can be with an anointed man and not know what he carries because of proximity? Have you wondered why the anointing works best outside than inside? Oh, talk to me, church. You see the man of God every day, isn't it? Every Wednesday, every Friday, every Sunday. So there is nothing new about what he does. Meanwhile, that revelation God wants you to catch in working with them is something you must deliberately pray to God for. Talk to me, family. Oh, are you blessed already? Oh, are you blessed already? You see, the reason why many of you cannot have testing, because God knows that these things are not built on your inside. So even if it's to release a new oil, what you carry within it can fall upon. Just imagine that God gives you a powerful ministry and a member makes you angry. And you forget that you are ministering first before the Lord, before the people. And you don't want to focus on the people's imbalanced character to preach the gospel. You will lose yourself. Because sometimes your greatest elevation will come when people leave you. So just imagine being a powerful preacher. Do you know that the enemy can actually contract church members to insult you? Talk to me, family. God is good. Some time ago, I was in Germany. When I laid my hands over somebody, it was the minister that lady was training to take over the church in Germany. When I laid my hands, God told me that, young man, take off your hands. When I asked why, God told me that the heart of the man is speaking against you. So whatever unction you want to transfer cannot work. Do you know that if God doesn't open your eyes, you don't know who your enemies are? Because everybody appears as friends. Yes. Why are you blessed already? So, you see, we focus on the anointing as what a man should have in order to command the expert others are having. And God says, no. The first anointing has got to do with how God can justify your character through these acts. When these acts are not built on your inside, there's no way when you pray to God, you can keep to the end what God gives you. It is never the responsibility of the Holy Ghost to keep what he gives you. When he gives you a thing, he leaves that thing to the character you live by. Am I teaching here? So for a very long time, people describe anointing as Prophet Benjamin prophesying or Bishop prophesying. God says that is another aspect that comes upon. But the real oil is what he puts on the inside. Please go back to 2020 for me. Go back. Am I teaching here? I want to show you why many of you are here. You cannot have certain breakthroughs. Because God says on your inside, there's no love. My father told me 8 years ago, when we used to live in our old apartment, he told me that, he says, it will be painful for God to speak to you. And then you deliberately do what he says you shouldn't do. He says, that kind of thing. He says, when you go ask God to forgive, he says, he will forgive you. But the real forgiveness is not the blood he cleanses you with, but the trust he brings back. You didn't hear that? Please. Okay. Can I teach you how mercy operates here? Okay. Somebody say mercy. Many of you try to justify your wrongdoings as humans because of imperfections. True of us. Man of God, I'm a human being. I cannot be perfect. But somebody did it. Oh, hello? Things you felt were impossible, somebody has done it. Oh, true of us. When nobody felt that somebody could go to the space, somebody actually made a man to go to the space. So if the Bible can attest that men are holy, why can't you also be holy? Oh, talk to me, friends. So we justify our imperfection because we are humans. Now watch this. When God begins to work with a man, he knows your limitations. Yet he gives you systems of advantage. So the enemy cannot pull you down. Because in God's kingdom, a man's past is important like his present and future. There are no divisions in sequence in timing.
Zechariah 3 verse 1. And I saw Joshua the high priest
standing at the right hand side of the devil, being accused of him. Why? Because there was a stain in his garment. The Bible says he was a high priest. In the days of old, you don't have the power to stand in God's holy ground unto a holy man. In fact, the atonement was actually dependent on you. You speak to God on the people's behalf, yet the enemy held his garment. Why? Because a stain was in his garment. Talk to me, family. Now, God knowing how limited you are in certain things, he brings about mercy. But when he speaks to you that don't do this, don't go here, don't stand here, don't stay here, he will let you bear the consequence. When you pray that God should forgive you, the ministry of mercy actually covers the anger of God not to kill you. Because he came, you see, when God speaks, God bets God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So anytime, you see, God is a chapter on his own. Everything about God is encapsulated in his words. So when he speaks, he has bettered God again. Did you hear that? So just imagine God coming from his inside to tell you something, and you say no to that. You have deliberately insulted his integrity as God. That anger in God must kill you. Because in his realm, nobody will ever hear his voice and disobey him. So mercy comes to temper justice and say, this one should not be killed. But you know what? That season you should have had in order to command exploit to not be there again. You may say, I've been redeemed, I've been washed by the blood. It is true. But you see, he, the Lord, has limited your understanding so you cannot have lost. It will take the love that God has for you, or maybe the covenant that somebody has established that you may be benefiting from to know what you've lost in life. Many don't know who they are because God said so. Please, am I teaching here? So when you pray for marriage, you are actually speaking to God. The Father, these are things that will give me the access to know you the more. But God says, if the anointing must come upon, check these things within. Praise God. Wow. Are you blessed already? So just imagine the spirit of love that's not dwelling on your inside. You see, when we say joy according to scripture, it's not you being happy deliberately, but having the consciousness that whatever I go through will pass one day. Joy means calming your mind. You calm your mind so you don't allow the storms of life conflict with God's prophetic words. You know, most believers try to emotionalize what they share with God. If God was this good, why would God allow this happen to me? I watched an interview, a young boy, and the guy was trying to laugh at this boy. That you claim you believe in Christ, so why did God give you cancer? And he said, because God knows I can bear it. I said, wow. He says, God knows I can bear it. He said, but you're about to die. He says, I know, but God knows I can bear it. Because our glory is not physical. Our glory is eternal. You need to hear me. I'm telling you. Because the reward is so big that time cannot hold it. You need to hear me, church. Some of you are here. God has placed crowns on your head, and the eyes of men cannot see it. I'm telling you, church. I'm wondering what people think of men when they see how people want to live a chaste life. Because our glory is not physical. Our glory is eternal. Watch me. I want you to know that everybody lives forever. Just because you die doesn't mean you end your life. Am I teaching you? The spirit of peace, of patience. Believers lack patience. Believers lack patience. We want everything real quick. I told you I finished a service in Sierra Leone. After the service, we had calls from the highest authorities. And they were like, you don't know what you have done. So after the program, we came back and God told me that demons are looking around on what to do to fight what you stand for, but they can't fight. So whoever is weak will be used by the enemy. So I told other guys, thinking maybe to come through anger or confusion, it came through sickness. From nowhere, this lady felt that she couldn't see again. She lost her eye, lost her brain, boom, went to coma. So I had to rush to London, met the mother, and the woman said, which God will allow people to pay this price after serving him? That God is not good. And the woman told me that if the lady dies, he says, your name will be everywhere. I said, that's a very good way of advertising the ministry. Talk to me, family. I said, it was death that gave Jesus popularity. So the pastor went to, was trying to comfort them. Oh, don't worry, life. I said, Papa, don't tell them that. Let them know that the God that we serve is a mysterious God. And he does what he likes. You can't fight him for that. They were like, yes, we'll put your name everywhere. I said, I don't care about that. Do you know how many have spotted my name? I'm still preaching the gospel here. And they can't do one person what I do here. One person, they can't do it. One. They can't do one. They can't do 1%. We prayed and God told her she'll come back to life. They were like, after the prayer, the enemy brought more attacks and she didn't even die them more in the place. I said, that's okay. We've prayed already. I went to a church to go meet a man of God. And I was told that they came in my absence to fight me in the church. That you shouldn't believe him. Oh, he has done this to us. And then, lo and behold, then he was praying in the church. And then he says, a lot of people are praying for the leader. She cannot die. Guess what? We're there when a call came that the leader opened her eye. Somebody that they went into the brain of this girl opened her eye. And the first name she called was, I'm looking for Brother Benjamin. And they were like, ah, we are trying to fight him for something we don't know. And you are coming back from the graveyard and all you can call is problems. I've seen what you don't see. Watch me. Certain secrets are best kept in divinity. Because the integrity of God cannot stand men actually play with that. If God knows that people will toy with things of divine, he will kill them. I'm telling you. You see, many people don't know that sometimes he wants to test if you're ready for the next level of patience. So you are seeking for power. Huh? The things you're praying for, pray for the character on how to keep them. Because they bring validation to what comes upon. I'm making it very simple because many believers don't know that you have to be entrusted to have a miracle. It's an anointing. Talk to me, family. Watch me. Many believers are missing. Listen to me. I'm a prophet, I can tell you. Many believers are missing. Yet they're speaking English. Kai. Let me give this prophecy here. When Joe Biden won, I told you that thing that you guys call a president is somebody the enemy has actually brought to bring about destruction. In the reign of Trump, we never had any issue about Israel. Talk to me, family. Talk to me, family. Now, many people don't like Trump because he sounds very rude. He sounds very arrogant. He sounds very harsh. You look at somebody who is very calm, talking to the people, yet he's killing you. You see, believers, we don't judge based on what God says. We judge on sentiments. Everybody's here. Oh, we heard the pastor did this. Yes, we know that. But can you be Holy Ghost inspired for once? Oh, we've heard this. Can you be Holy Ghost inspired for once? You see, it's serious how believers based on sentiment as approval of God's voice. Ah, what has the church become? Many believers don't know that America has become the hub of salvation. The greatest revivalists, they all came from Europe and America. Do you know a man of God called William Branham? One of the most authentic prophets ever. Gave a prophecy in 1964. And said that the time is coming, this nation will have a lady as a president. And it says, on the day of coronation, she's going to be in a purple attire. He says, the day this happens, he says, the end is near. He says, if this does not happen, I was never born a prophet. He gave the prophecy 1964. Do you know how many years now? 1964. He gave the prophecy 60 years ago. Remember, I told you that in God's kingdom, there's no past, there's no present, there's no future. The past is yesterday, and yesterday is tomorrow. So he spoke in 1964. Meanwhile, in the place of God's kingdom, it was already established. Guess what? On the day of Joe Biden's coronation, what happened? We saw the lady standing solidly behind the man in the purple attire. And believers began to pray, crying for mercy. Huh? Don't jubilate when the enemy is celebrating. Don't be quick to jubilate when the devil is crying. Because see, if the enemy gets you, everything about your life will be destroyed. I'm telling you, friends. But sad enough, believers are using impulses as a means of judgment. And we've left the Holy Ghost. So when can you ever ask God for something? When? Sometimes the things we fought are better put in us. Now, guess what? God told me that they will give the crown to the lady. Look at the kind of allegations deployed against Donald Trump. Talk to me, family. Do you know that when they tried to fight him and they couldn't fight him, they had to physically shoot him? Barack Obama was not killed because he was being manipulated. The country black man talk say this. You come and speak English and cry and then go home. Yes. Remember when I talked about Gates? I said the first thing people do in Gates is that when spirit know they can't fight you, they have to use words to fight you. So they will come up with things with the evidence of truth. But only God can define what is true. Oh. God told me that if we don't pray and this lady wins America, mark my words, every international prophecy I give that comes to pass. Do you know that? Every prophecy that I give international, I don't record them, that's why. Every of them. One time I was with my dad in our house. We were watching football. I was with Richmond a night before, and I said, I've seen the match in the spirit. And that Ronaldo, I think at that time he was playing for Real Madrid. And I said, the guy will win the thing. But everything looked like he will not win. Just 2 minutes to end the match. I said, Daddy, God told me yesterday that Ronaldo has won the match. He won at this time and this angle. And we all laughed. We're like, man of God, this prophecy is like bouncing. So I went in, I came out, and I had go. Guess what? The person I spoke about has called the thing. God told me that if people don't pray by 2030, this year, in 5 years to come, God told me from 2030 upwards, a lot of people will have to die. And those who will die are God's chosen and God's elect. He says the good ones he will keep behind will only have to finish the assignment on earth. But he says the patriots who have been serving God for years will say goodbye to us. He said because if they doesn't do so, God told me that the system would actually compromise their purity. He says they will not fall into sympathy. He says the things that will be brewed in the system will actually fight their instinct. Have I blessed you today? Kindness, goodness, faithful. See, don't pray for the things you are asking God for if these things cannot be placed on your inside. These are the definition of God's anointing. Huh? Character is stronger than prophecy. Oh, God, help me. On Friday, we'll go very deep here. Sometimes, the things that God permits are only meant to teach you how things would have been better if you allow him obey. Allow him lead you and you obey his voice. I bless today. I said, I will never forget this lady's prophecy. I gave 2 months ago. I said, heaven wept in 2014. I said, it's true. He says, because I married my husband in that year. And she claimed that she had a dream that God told her in the dream to leave the man she was with to go for this one that is divorcing her now. God is good. She wanted somebody from her tribe. You see that nonsense people are doing these days? They don't want to hear God. They want tribe. It's serious. No Holy Ghost validation and then pull like that. I bless already. I said, I've seen people live life. And I can tell you that many are not what they appear to be. I'm ending now. So the whole idea of anointing is the spirit that comes upon a man's life. And anointing comes in two ways. The anointing within him and anointing upon. I told you the anointing within is what gives us the identity of Christ. Because people see who Jesus is through our lifestyle. When that spirit cannot be dwelt on a man's inside, there's no proof that God ever lived in a man's life. Character speaks when a mouth is silent. And the Lord says, if people don't put to heart what they ought to do on their inside in order for Christ to justify who they are, for a very long time, God will have to keep them in a place. It is better for God to slow a man down than for you to rush in destiny and then what you should have paid attention to now becomes your enemy. So God says, all these signs are actually systems he put in place to ensure that you have the ability to build in time. What God says, if not, what you pray to God for will fight you. Are you blessed today? Jesus hid himself for 30 years. Yes, he knew that the time was not right. But guess what? He understood that what he had to finish in 3 years would linger forever. So if there's anything with character deformation, there'll be a loss to his credence. Then he said something yesterday that if you're a preacher and God gives you a message, before you preach the message, preach to yourself. He said because the things you preach against will fight you. And people will not listen to what you said, but how you lived your life. You see, the 90% of the counselors we have in marriages today are from divorces. Divorce. Two of us. Oh, two of us. One of my sons called me yesterday and said, man of God, I went to my counselor for help. I said, let's pray. I began to pray. I hear Susan say, man of God, you're too sharp. Too sharp. Oh, Papa. That's my counselor. I said, why am I seeing your counselor putting poison in your marriage? He said, it's true. So anytime we go to heaven, we come back, there's more fight. I said, I'm not seeing a ring on. I said, I want to go, she's divorced 3 times. I said, and you make her your counselor. She couldn't keep one man, not 2, 3. How? So she's using her mistake to encourage us. So my brother, please be wise. God is good. I bless already. Let me say this here, and then on Friday, I'll teach you what I call the anointing upon. I bless already. Watch me, please. God has created everybody differently. And there's an assignment God has given unto everybody. Do you believe that? Yes. Now, I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that it is not left to you to define the excellence of the ministry. It is left to God to give you honor before men. Sometimes what God honors you with might not be what you are doing, but whatever you are reflecting in the spirit. It's very deep. Watch this. The Bible says, and Jesus Christ gave testimonies about the Petrites, not because they believed that God could do things for them, but rather they discovered the things to do to have that life. You see, there are two forms of testimonies. There is the testimony that a man receives and speaks of or speak about, and the testimony that God actually speaks about a man's life. So Abraham, God gave a testimony about him. Talk to me, family. Okay. Genesis 18, verse 16, please. So you know that God can give testimonies about people. Are we there? Genesis 18, verse 16. I wish I had time today. God help us. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Verse number 17. Verse 17. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Can you imagine? God is actually asking him, do you know God? Telling us that what he wants to do, he can't hide it from him. It will be unfair for him to hide it from Abraham, a mortal man. Huh? This journey, you need one thing to live by. Somebody said anointing. Yes. When there's no oil on your head, I bet you everything will be tough. And God's anointing has a protocol, and it begins first when it comes on the inside.
Thank you, and God bless you for listening to Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. Don't forget to share with us how this message has been a blessing to you and your family on +324 920904 54, or email us at office@benjaminfodjer.org. Follow Prophet Benjamin on Facebook, YouTube, podcast at Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. On Instagram is Benjamin_Fodjer. Twitter is SeniorBenjaminFodjer. And on website is www.benjaminfodjer.org. Wisdom Moment with Prophet Benjamin Fodjer. The vision, the mission, the passion.